May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. The season of Thanksgiving gives us the opportunity to take stock of our many blessings. As part of that, we can feel a deep sense of rootedness as we reflect on those in our past who have made possible the lives we live today. My maternal grandmother grew up during the Great Depression in Utica, Indiana, where flooding is a fact of life. She told stories of the 1937 flood, where the family was able to salvage just a few belongings through an upstairs window accessed by boat. She welcomed her first baby while America's sons were in Europe fighting the Second World War. She was married to a Baptist preacher, and on his meager salary, as things were back then, she somehow managed the household and kept four daughters fed and clothed. My grandmother knew what it was like to live with little. She knew what it was like to live with uncertainty, anxiety, and fear. Because of this, even when life got much more stable for her, she continued to live humbly. This may have been prudence on her part, or perhaps mere habit, but it also is true that formative years have a way of, well, forming us. And she was formed to know that God's provision sometimes looked like saving any excess for a rainy day. When Grandma passed away in 2005 and we cleaned out her house, we discovered many artifacts that pointed to a woman still deeply marked by the scarcity of her earlier life. There were wads of cash stuck all over the house, under mattresses, deep in drawers, down in a box of cereal at the back of the kitchen cabinet. It was also evident that she had stocked up on toilet paper every time it went on sale. Her collection of plastic Tupperware was also quite impressive. Cottage cheese and butter tubs under the sink floating atop a sea of lids. You've surely heard the saying, you always want better for your kids. Because of my grandparents' hard work and my grandmother's stewardship, her frugal approach to life, their daughters did do better than they had, not facing the same struggles that marked so much of my grandmother's life. And the trajectory of subsequent generations has also been one of greater security. So much so that I don't often stop to think about how much easier my family has it. I don't often stop to think about how we stand on the shoulders of generations of people who knew hardships we never will. I don't often think about how one of my paternal great-grandmothers didn't get to go to high school because her widowed father needed her help on the farm. And how it must have felt for her later in life when all three of her children not only went to high school, but finished college too. And then how it felt to watch as her grandchildren did the same. Do you have those in your life whose difficult road you could reflect on today as well? Life as we know it here in 2023 can be busy, complicated, and hard in so many ways, yes. But in so many other ways, life today is far easier than those of our forebears. So much so that we can forget the victories they won for us, the ways they positioned us to inherit this more secure way of living. The truth is, there is risk to prosperity. One risk is a kind of good fortune amnesia, forgetting the struggles and sacrifices of our ancestors. We risk thinking that our prosperity arose in a vacuum, that we are somehow entitled to it, that we are somehow due the good things in our lives. Now, those risks are threatening, but an even greater risk is forgetting that every step of the way, in lean times and prosperous ones, provision comes from and has come from our God. And this is what threatens the Israelites in our first passage for today. Now, you'll remember the Israelites have been through a lot. They were slaves in Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The generation that came out of Egypt did not make it to the long-awaited promised land, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. All the rest died in the wilderness, including Moses. Now let's just think about that for a moment. Joshua and Caleb were the only two who knew what it was like to live under all three sets of circumstances: under the weight of slavery, in the uncertain and unforgiving wilderness, and in the promised land. They alone have a firsthand appreciation for where God has taken God's people. Now, the rest of the Israelites, once they're in the promised land, they can't remember slavery, but they can recall what it was like to have to depend on manna from heaven each morning for food, what it was like to drink water that flowed from a rock. Yet the rest of the Israelites can know what it was like to be a wilderness people and then a promised land people. But eventually, there will arise a generation that will only know what promised land living is like. And this is what Moses warns the people about. I want to read just a little bit once more of what Linda read for us a bit ago. "Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes that I'm commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth,' but remember the Lord your God." There is danger that the Israelites will come to believe that they are the ones who have accomplished and achieved prosperity, when the reality is that every step of the way has been marked by divine gift. Prosperity can breed a seductive and convincing illusion of self-sufficiency. But if the danger is forgetting, the remedy is memory. The Israelites must remember the God who has brought them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. They must remember the lessons of the wilderness, how God protected and provided for them. And the means for remembering, the means for maintaining that memory, is to tell the story. Tell the story, tell the story, tell the story. Our second scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it tells of the healing of the 10 lepers. As Margaret told us in the children's chat, lepers were those who suffered from a series of what were understood to be highly contagious skin diseases. And this meant they lived in isolation from their families and communities. Note that even as they're appealing to Jesus for mercy, the lepers keep a distance, as was the law. And Jesus gives them one instruction: but it doesn't make a lot of sense. Go and show yourselves to the priests. But that is what you would do once you were healed. That is what you would do to get the rubber stamp, the green light, that you were ready to go back and live among people. That's not what you would do while you still had these symptoms. Going while still leprous would have been a pointless exercise. Nonetheless, they all do as Jesus said. They all go. But before they arrive on the way, they are made clean. A miracle. Presumably, the other nine go on to present themselves before the priest so that they can return to normal living. One of them returns to Jesus. And the one who returns bows at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And Jesus responds favorably to this former leper and seems taken aback that the other nine did not join him in this gratitude mission. Where are the other nine? Did none of them return to give glory to God? Now, there's another detail we need to know about this one grateful leper, and that is he was a Samaritan. You likely recall from the parable of the Good Samaritan that Samaritans and Jews did not get along, which makes it even more impactful that it was a Samaritan who returned to thank the Jewish rabbi who had facilitated his healing. And Jesus commends him, "Get up and go on your way, your faith has made you well." Now, it's worth noting that the Samaritans recognized the Torah as scripture as well. So this leper had likely been taught and formed under Moses' instruction, just like Jesus was, just like you and I are. So he would have known Moses' teaching on the importance of remembering the former times when one's situation improves. And this leper understood the assignment. Now, obviously, the leper is probably not thinking about Egypt or the wilderness years of his ancestors, but he has had the wisdom to embrace this miracle without abandoning the memory of what life was like for him before. He had the wisdom not to merely trade his suffering for this miracle, but to hold them both simultaneously, allowing his suffering to illuminate the miracle. If he had let good fortune amnesia take hold, he might have joined the other nine on their way and rushed headlong into his new life. But in that pivotal moment, he remembered just what God had saved him from. And when you look at it that way, what else could he do but fall to the ground and offer gratitude to God? This week, as we offer thanksgiving to God for the many good gifts in our lives, let us not forget the former days. Let us remember the difficult roads in our lives where God has sustained us. And let us remember the difficult seasons during which God sustained generations long before we ever drew breath. I think again of my grandmother. And I imagine if Moses had been there to warn her as she moved from the struggles of the first two-thirds of her life into the greater security of her later years, he might have said something like this: "Eventually there will arise a generation that will know only a life of ample opportunity, of choices, endless choices, of grocery stores stocked with food, of cures and treatments for diseases that were previously deadly, lives filled with busy schedules, activities, yearly vacations, retirement plans, and an iPhone in every hand. When this occurs, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you through harder days. He cared for you then. He cares for you now. Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' Remember the Lord. Tell the story. Tell the story. Tell the story. We are the ones who live in this day of abundance and security. Let us not forget the stories of how we got here. And most of all, let us remember that once we were dead in our sin, but because of Christ, we now walk in newness of life. And in all things, may we remember the Lord, who sustained those who came before and who sustains us today. I'm thankful that the generations before us have told the story. May we tell it too. And most importantly, may we remember and give thanks. Amen.